الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Etiquettes of Masajid with interesting questions and answers. Excellence of Darood Sharif. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, "Whosoever recites Darood upon me once, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends down 10 mercies upon him. And whosoever recites Darood upon me 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jalla sends down 100 mercies upon him. And whosoever recites Darood 100 times upon me, then Allah Azza wa Jalla writes between both of his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the hellfire, and he will keep him amongst the martyrs on the day of judgment." صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. Where should the litter of Masajid be placed? Question: Where should the litter of Masajid be placed? Answer: It is impermissible to discard the litter or debris of the Masajid mats in such a place where there is a chance of disrespect occurring. Therefore, Allama Alauddin Muhammad bin Ali Haskafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned, "The grass and debris of the masjid should not be swept into such a place where it may be disrespected. Similarly, if something from the masjid becomes worn out or old, even if someone buys it, he shall still not place it in an area where it will be disrespected." Like this, a question was asked in the court of the reviver of the Sunnah, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Ala Hazrat Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, that if an item from the masjid becomes worn out and one sells it and gives the money raised from it in the masjid, then someone else purchases the same item and keeps it in his home, is it permissible for him or not? Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh replied, "It is permissible, but the item in question should not be placed in a place of dishonor." Ruling regarding the leftover material of the masjid. Question: After new construction of the masjid, material is left over from the previous construction. What should be done regarding this material? Answer: While mentioning the ruling over the leftover material from the previous construction, my master, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, has said, "If the materials left over from the previous construction of the building is in a usable state and can be stored without the fear of its spoiling, then it should be stored for future use. Otherwise, it may be sold and the money attained from the transaction must be used in the sole construction of the masjid only. The money attained cannot be used for ewers, mats or lighting, etc. All these affairs should take place under the supervision of the mutawalli, or a trustworthy and reliable individual." Mutawalli, i.e. trustee of the masjid. "The materials should also be sold to a well-mannered Muslim, so the materials are not used in an inappropriate or impure place. Any leftover wood which is of no use except for burning should be used for the waterworks of the masjid. And if it is sold, then the buyer is at full liberty to burn this wood. However, he should be cautious that he keeps it away from cow pats or upla, i.e. animal dung that is dried then burnt and used to cook, etc." Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi states at another place that the Islamic ruler, and where there is no Islamic ruler, then it is permissible for the mutawalli of the masjid or neighboring people to sell those things which can no longer be used for the masjid. For example, the ceiling tiles, etc., to a Muslim at an appropriate rate. The Muslim who buys it can use them in his house, such as in the living room, kitchen, or any such place where it does not get disrespected. He shall not use them in disrespectful places like the toilet, etc. As ulama, i.e. Islamic scholars, have commanded to even respect the litter that is swept away from the masjid. Begging in the masjid. Question. Some people stand in the masjid and express their problems and illnesses, etc., begging others for help. If they are indeed entitled to assistance, is it permissible to help them or not? Answer. To ask for personal needs is impermissible in the masjid, and to help such an individual is also impermissible. Sadr al-Sharia Badr al-Tariqa Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayha said, begging inside the masjid is haram and assisting such a beggar is also haram. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi states, the respected ulama of deen have stated, the individual who gives the beggar of the masjid 1 rupee should give 70 rupees more in the path of Allah Almighty as an expiation for the sin he has committed. The solution to this issue is that if there actually is an individual who is genuinely in need, instead of approaching people at the masjid for help, he should contact the imam and express his need. Now there is no harm if the imam of the masjid informs the salah offering people of his plight. Collecting money for the masjid or madrasa. Question. Can we not even ask for donations for masjid, madrasa or any needy Muslim inside a masjid? Answer. Asking for any personal needs is not allowed in masjid. However, there is no harm in asking for another needy Muslim or religious work such as for a masjid or madrasa, as it has been stated in Fatawa-e Razaviya, Volume 16, page 418, asking for one's personal needs is not permissible inside the masjid. Even giving to an individual begging in the masjid is also prohibited by the ulama, to the extent that Imam Ismail Zahid rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, the person who gives 1 paisa to the one who begs inside the masjid should give 70 paisas additionally in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla as an expiation for that 1 paisa. In regards to asking in the masjid for someone else or any need of the masjid is permissible and proven from the blessed Sunnah. It is mentioned in the book Ahkam-e-Shariyat that without a doubt asking for assistance for someone in need or for any religious work without causing a racket, disturbance or disturbing someone's prayer is not only permissible but proven from the blessed Sunnah. Moreover, giving a needy person without him questioning is an extremely commended act and proven from Sayyiduna Ali Karamallahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. So we come to know that it is permissible to collect donations inside a masjid for a madrasa, masjid or any needy Muslim. It is a common practice that in masajid, donations are normally collected on Friday for masajid. A person should aim to give something on this day as Friday is superior to all other days. Reward of one virtuous deed is multiplied 70 times on Friday. Ruling over using masjid as a pathway. Question. How is it to use masjid as a pathway? Answer. Using masjid as a pathway, i.e. using some part of the masjid to pass through it, is impermissible. Jurists of Islam, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, have deemed this impermissible without necessity. Sadr al-Sharia Badr al-Tariqa, Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, making masjid into a pathway, i.e. crossing through it, is impermissible. If a person makes a habit of this, then he would be classed as a fasik, i.e. a sinful person. If a person entered a masjid with the intention of passing through and regretted his action upon reaching midway through, then he should avoid exiting out of the door that he would have initially exited from and use a different exit. Alternatively, he should stop and offer salah there and then leave. However, if he does not have wuzu, then he should leave from the door that he entered from. However, if there is no other option, for example, the other way is blocked and there is no other way of getting across to the other side apart from crossing through the masjid, then this has been permitted as and when needed. As it is stated in Khulasatul Fatawa, a person passes through a masjid and makes it into a pathway. If there is a need for it, then it is permissible. Without a need, it is impermissible. Moreover, in case it is permissible for him, then he should offer salah in it once every day, not every single time as difficulty lies in it. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi says, using masjid as a pathway out of necessity is permissible. Otherwise, walking inside the masjid to get to the other side in normal conditions is haram. However, it has been permitted in the times of necessity, such as the way is blocked and one can get to the other side only by going through the masjid, as it happens in Masjid al-Haram during the Hajj time. Moreover, this exemption is not for the person upon whom a ghusl is farz, a menstruating woman and a postnatal woman. Furthermore, same is the ruling for horses or bullock carts, as taking them inside the masjid to cross through is not permissible at all. Demolishing masjid to make a road. Question: how is it to demolish a masjid or part of it to make way for a public road? Answer: demolishing a masjid or any part of it is an absolutely haram act. This act becomes a means of disrespecting and desolating the masjid. Therefore, it is a severely haram act and an act that leads towards the hellfire. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, Surah Baqarah, Ayah number 114. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أظلم ممن منع مساجد الله أن يذكر فيها اسمه وسعى في خرابها. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Who is more unjust than he who prevents the name of Allah from being mentioned in the masjids of Allah and strives to ruin them? In regards to this beautiful ayah, Sadrullah Fazil Allama Maulana Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has stated, the way masajid get desolated when zikr and salah are stopped in there, same is the case when masjid's building is harmed and its honor is tarnished. The jurists of Islam, rahmahumullah ta'ala, have said, if people make an intention that an area of the masjid is to be used as a pathway for the Muslims, then it is said that they are not allowed to do so, and this verdict is indeed correct. Similarly, when answering a similar question, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat Allama Maulana Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has said, indeed, doing such an act is haram. This is abusing the rights of a masjid and causing undue interference in the property of the masjid. In the light of Sharia, deviating from the permissions and conditions set out by the waqif at the time of donating even for its betterment or improvement, is not allowed, even if the originality of the waqf is not changed. Then how can it be halal to use a waqf item in something completely contrary to the purpose it was actually donated for? Bringing immature children to the masjid. Question: who is sinful for bringing such young children to the masjid who run around and make noise in the masjid? Answer: a blessed hadith prohibits bringing very young children and mentally ill people to the masjid. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, safeguard masajid from children, the mentally ill, buying and selling, quarreling, raising of voices, establishing punishments and drawing swords. Make ablution areas at their doors and perfume masajid with incense on the day of Friday. It is found that normally when small children gather at the masjid, they become very mischievous and run in front of the salah offering individuals, causing immense disturbance. Not only this, they at times begin to cry during salah, which causes a lot of disturbance in salah. This sort of behavior is against the sanctity of the masjid. Moreover, sometimes children even urinate and defecate in the masjid. So the sin for all this is upon the one who brought them into the masjid in the first place. If he is an adult, therefore small children shall not be brought to the masjid at all. Remember, bringing such a child from whom there is a risk of impurity, i.e. he may urinate, etc., or mentally incapable individual into the masjid is haram. If there is no risk of impurity, then it is makruh, i.e. disliked. Similarly, bringing young children, mentally ill people, someone who is unconscious, or someone under the effect of jinn to get a dam, i.e. a spiritual cure, done to the masjid is also forbidden by the sharia. If one has already committed this sin in the past, then he must repent and make a firm intention not to bring them again in future. However, if someone brings a child or an ill person for them to an area which is Finai Masjid, the Imam's office or room, then there is no harm in it, as long as he does not have to come through the Masjid. Using an imama or prayer mat as a pillow while sleeping. Question: can one use an imama or a prayer mat as a pillow whilst going to sleep? Answer: one shall not use an imama or a prayer mat as a pillow whilst going asleep, as it is against the etiquettes. Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqa, Allama Mawlana Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi has said, do not make a pillow of trousers, as this is against the etiquettes, and nor should it be made of an imama. It is stated in Hayati Ala Hazrat, placing the imama, prayer mat or trousers under the head is forbidden, as placing imama and prayer mat under the head is disrespectful to the imama and prayer mat, and placing trousers under the head is disrespectful to the head. Moreover, wiping the mouth or nose with the shimla of the imama, the bit that hangs, should also not be done. Wisdom behind sitting on the steps instead of the stage. Question: on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, 1418 AH, when Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahli Sunnat, founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Razavi Zi'ai, Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, came to deliver a speech at approximately 12 o'clock a.m. in a Milad Ijtima. As he walked in, the recitation of the Holy Quran had already begun. So he, Damat Barakatum al-Aliya, sat on the steps of the stage, avoiding the gaze of the onlookers, listening intently to the recitation. After the recitation of the Holy Quran, when Amir Ahli Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al Aliya sat on the stage, he was asked the following question: Huzur, instead of coming straight to the stage, you sat on the steps. What was the wisdom behind this? Answer: When the Holy Quran is being recited, it is wajib to listen to it quietly and with full concentration. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran in chapter 9, Surah Araf, ayat number 204. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And when the Quran is recited, listen to it attentively and remain silent, that you may receive mercy. In relation to this ayah, Sadrullah Fazil Allama Mawlana Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has said, this ayah proves that whenever Quran is being recited, whether in or out of Salah, it is wajib to stay silent and listen to it. The jurists of Islam Rahmahumullah Ta'ala have stated, when Quran is being recited aloud, it is farz, i.e. compulsory, upon all those present to listen to it, provided that they have gathered for the purpose of listening to it. Otherwise, if one individual is listening, it is enough, even if others are busy in their own works. The reason: because I came in order to attain the privilege of attending the gathering of Milad and other Islamic brothers with me, and those already present in the Ijtima of Milad have also gathered here with the same very intention. Thus, it was wajib upon all of us to listen to the recitation of the Holy Quran. If I had sat on the stage at the time of the recitation of the Holy Quran, then there was a high possibility that Islamic brothers may have stood up and someone could have called out a slogan. So I didn't want that any Islamic brother falls in the sin of not listening to the recitation of the Holy Quran because of me. Hence, I sat on the steps instead of coming on to the stage. Prohibition of reciting the Holy Quran aloud. Question: When is it impermissible to recite the Holy Quran aloud? Answer: Reciting the Holy Quran and listening to it are indeed acts of great reward. One attains a reward equivalent to 10 rewards for every letter of the Quran that he recites. However, Islamic jurists, rahmahumullah ta'ala, have prohibited reciting the Quran loud in some circumstances. Number 1. In a gathering, it is haram for all the people to recite the Holy Quran loud. Often, in tijas, people are found reciting the Holy Quran loudly. If there are few people to recite the Holy Quran, then the ruling is that they should recite the Quran in a low voice. Number 2. It is also forbidden to recite the Holy Quran loudly at such a place where the students of Islamic knowledge are studying or revising. Number 3. Similarly, in places where people are busy working and in markets or shopping centers, it is impermissible to recite the Holy Quran aloud. If people do not listen to the recitation, then the person reciting it will be sinful. If he started reciting it before people got engaged in their works, and that place is not fixed for any sort of work, now if he starts the recitation first and people do not listen to it, then the people will be sinful. And if he started the recitation after people started their works, then he, i.e. the reciter, will be sinful. The sin of forgetting the Quran after memorizing it. Question: What is the ruling for those who memorize the Quran and then forget it? Answer: Those who memorize the Holy Quran and then forget it are deserving of the following admonitions mentioned in the blessed ahadith. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has stated, "The good deeds of my ummah were presented to me, even a piece of straw that a person removes from the masjid, and the sins of my ummah were presented to me. I did not come across a bigger sin than a person memorizing one surah or one ayah of the Holy Quran and then forgetting it." It has been narrated from Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, "The person who reads the Quran, memorized it, and then forgot it will come as a leaper to Allah the Almighty on the Day of Judgment." Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah, Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, "Who is more unwise than the one whom Allah Azza wa Jalla gave such talent and capability of memorizing the Holy Quran, but he buries this talent with his own hands? If he valued it and knew the reward and ranks promised over it, then he would guard the Quran he had memorized with his heart and soul." Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali further states, "A person who has memorized the Holy Quran should keep himself busy in keeping it remembered, teaching it and making others memorize it, so that he can attain the reward that is promised over it, and he can avoid the punishment of being raised as a blind leaper on the Day of Judgment. Respected Huffaz must work extremely hard and observe strict caution. They should strive day and night to keep the Holy Quran remembered, so that they become deserving of the reward and attain salvation from being raised as leper on the Day of Judgment. Delaying debt repayment without any reason." Question: how is it to delay debt repayment without any reason or to not pay the debt back at all? Answer: the jurists of Islam, rahimahumullah ta'ala, have classed delaying the repayment of debt without a valid reason a type of oppression. So not repaying the debt at all is surely worse. In relation to this, let us cite some blessed ahadith and try to stay away from this action. Number 1. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "Excuses in delaying the repayment of a debt by the one who is fully capable of repaying his debt is oppression." The capable person who makes excuses in the repayment of his debt, this act makes his character entitled to be attacked and punishment to be halal for him, meaning scolding and the taunting of this person becomes permissible. Number 2. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, "Every sin of the martyr, i.e. the shaheed, the one killed in the way of Allah the Almighty, is forgiven except for debt." Number 3. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that a body of a deceased person was brought in the court of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, so that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam could lead his funeral salah. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked, "Does this deceased person owe any debt?" It was said, "Yes, he does have debt." Then the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked, "Has he left any wealth behind from which his debt can be paid off?" It was said, "No." Then the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, "You people offer his funeral salah, I will not offer it." Seeing this incident, Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, "O beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, I take the responsibility for repaying his debt." The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam stepped forward and offered the man's funeral salah and said, "O Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you and save you just as you took the responsibility of your Muslim brother's debt and saved his soul. There is not any Muslim that repays his brother's debt except that on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will release him. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was given details regarding Zayd's laziness and false excuses in repaying his loan, to which Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi stated, Zayd is sinful and a transgressor, committing major sin, oppressor, a liar, and entitled to punishment. What other titles does he want for himself? If he dies in this state, where he has not repaid his debt, then his good deeds will be given to them, i.e. those whom he owes debt to, and how will they be given? Be aware, for approximately 3 paisas of debt, its repayment will be 700 salahs with congregation, i.e. jamaat. And when this person, i.e. the one owing the money, would have run out of the good deeds, he will have to take the sins of the people he owes debt to, and then he will be flung in the hellfire. Dear Islamic brothers, the matter of people's rights is very critical. If you have taken debt from someone and do not have the cash to repay it, but you have some sort of means to pay it, for example, you have furniture, etc., at home that you can sell to pay it back, then this is what must be done. As for the ones who delay repaying their debts without the consent of the lender, when they are perfectly able to, then they will keep becoming sinful until they repay it. Whether they are asleep or awake, sins will keep piling up in their book of deeds. Al-Aman wal-Hafiz. If this is the state of the one who delays the repayment of debt, then imagine the punishment for the one who does not repay his debt at all. Do not snub the debt of anyone for no reason, or you will cry in hell continuously, taking a debt with a good intention. Question: if a person took a loan from someone with a firm intention of repaying his loan, but for some reason he cannot repay his debt, then what is the ruling regarding such a person? Answer: a person who takes out a debt with a firm intention to pay it back, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make means for him due to his good intention that will help him in repaying his loan back. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has said, that individual who takes a loan with a firm intention to repay it, then Allah Azza wa Jalla repays it on his behalf. However, the one who takes a loan with the intention to just consume it, i.e. not to repay it, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not give him the ability to pay it back. In relation to this hadith, the commenter of Bukhari, Mufti Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, the above hadith mentions the blessings of a good intention and the curse of an evil intention. Therefore, the one who has a pure intention of repaying his debt with an open heart, Allah Azza wa Jalla will help him so that he is saved from the accountability of the hereafter. However, the one who has an ill intention, Allah Azza wa Jalla takes away the capability from him to repay his debt, and this person remains apprehended for the sin of not repaying the debt. Angels supplicate for the individual who takes a loan with a good intention. As Hujjatul Islam Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, the person who takes a loan and makes an intention to pay it back, then Allah Azza wa Jalla appoints some angels upon him who protect him and supplicate for his loan to be repaid quickly. As if the borrower has the means to repay his loan and delays it even for a moment without the permission of the lender, then he will be sinful and considered to be an oppressor. No matter whether he is observing Sawm or asleep, the sin will be continuously recorded on his behalf, and Allah Azza wa Jalla's curse will be on him in every state. This is such a sin that stays with him even while he is asleep. Moreover, the condition for repaying the loan does not demand the borrower to possess cash. In fact, if he can repay it by selling something, such as utensils, furniture, other household items, etc., then he will need to do so. Virtues of giving extra time to the borrower. Question: is there any virtue for giving someone extra time to repay his debt? Answer: yes, of course. Many virtues have been mentioned in the Quran and Hadith for being lenient and giving extra time to a borrower to repay his debt. In Para 3, Surah Baqarah, Ayah number 280, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And if the debtor is in difficulty, give him respite until it becomes easy, I to pay back. And if you give up the entire debt, it is better for you, if you know. In relation to this ayah, Sadrullah Fazil Allama Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has said, giving respite to the one who does not have the means to repay his debt, or forgiving some of the debt or the entire debt, is a great way of gaining great reward. A blessed hadith of Sahih Muslim states that the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam has said, the one who gives respite to the one in debt, i.e. who does not have the means to repay it, or forgives the debt, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give him the shade of his mercy on the day when there will be no shade other than the shade given by Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Holy Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam has said, the one who likes that on the day of judgment, Allah the Almighty saves him from sorrow, then he should give respite to the helpless person in debt, or forgive his entire debt. The pious saints of Islam did not just give respite to the ones in debt, but were also lenient in their demanding of the repayment. In fact, a lot of times, they would even forgive the debt entirely. As Sayyiduna Shaqiq bin Ibrahim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, that one day I was walking on a path with Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was going to inquire after an ill person. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi saw a man coming from a distance. This man quickly hid from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and changed his path. Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi called him by his name and said, walk the same way you were walking before. Do not change the course. When he realized that Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has recognized him and called him, he became very embarrassed and stopped where he was. Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi asked him, why did you change your path? He replies, Huzoor, it has been a substantial time since I owed you 10,000 dirhams, and I have not been able to repay you. Because of this, seeing you, I felt extremely embarrassed, i.e. I did not want to face you because of this embarrassment. Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied in Arabic, your situation has become such that you hid from my sight out of the shame and fear of me asking for repayment. Go, I have forgiven all what you owe me, and I myself am witness to this. Next time, do not avoid me and meet me feeling yourself free from what you felt by looking at me. Sayyiduna Shaqiq bin Ibrahim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, upon seeing this beautiful characteristic of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, I came to know that he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is truly a zahid, i.e. one who has no interest in this world. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see how Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi did not even feel it appropriate for the borrower to hide and change his path due to being embarrassed. Moreover, he displayed great mannerism and generosity that he forgave his entire debt. Only if we are also blessed with the passion of being lenient in demanding our borrowers to pay back the loan, and where possible, we forgive it in its entirety with good intentions and earn reward. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wazaif, i.e. spiritual cures for relieving of debts. Question: can you state some wazifa to relieve one's debts? Answer: here are three wazaif to relieve one's debt. Number one: Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzni wa'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasali wa'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhli wa'udhu bika min ghalabati al-deeni wa qahri al-rijal. Whoever reads this wazifa once, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, he will remain protected from sorrow and grief. Moreover, the one who is in debt should read this wazifa 11 times in the morning and evening with darood once before it and once after, until his wish is fulfilled. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, he will receive help from the unseen for paying back his debt. Number 2. Once a muqatib came to the court of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu asking, "I cannot pay the amount of my freedom. Please help me." Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "Shall I not teach you a few words that the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught me? Even if you have debts as big as the Mount Seer, Allah Azza wa Jalla will pay your debt on your behalf. You should read, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. You should also read this 11 times after every salah and 100 times in the morning and evening daily, with durood once before it and once after, until the fulfillment of your need. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, your debt will be cleared." Number 3. Sayyiduna Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that once I was not able to attend the Jumu'ah Salah. When the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam inquired as to why I did not attend, I humbly replied, "I owe debt to a Jewish man, Yuhana bin Bariga, and he was sitting at my doorstep waiting for me to come out, so he could take me into his custody and stop me from coming to you." The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "O Mu'az, do you want Allah Azza wa Jalla to pay off your debt?" I replied, "Of course." So the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Read this every day. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّن تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَا تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ رَحْمَانَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَرَحِيمَهُمَا تُعْطِي مِنْهُمَا مَا تَشَاءُ وَتَمْنَعُ مِنْهُمَا مَا تَشَاءُ اِقْضِي عَنِّي دِينِي. Declare in this manner, O beloved, O Allah, owner of the kingdom, you give kingship to whomsoever you desire, and you take back kingship from whomsoever you desire, and you give honor to whomsoever you desire, and you disgrace whomsoever you desire. All goodness is only in your hand of power. Indeed, you are able to do all things. You cause part of the night to enter into the day, and you cause part of the day to enter into the night, and you bring forth the living from the dead, and you bring forth the dead from the living, and you give to whomsoever you desire without counting. O the one who who is very gracious and merciful in the world and the hereafter. Whoever you want, you give from the world and the hereafter, and from whoever you want, you stop from them. Please clear my debt from me. Harms of air freshener. Question. Air fresheners are becoming common to make the air around us fragrant. Are these harmful in any way? Answer. The use of air fresheners are becoming increasingly common nowadays. They are usually used in such rooms that remain shut. Air fresheners do make the room fragrant temporarily, but the nose becomes immune to the smell, and usually people in the room can no longer smell the scent after a while, even though it is still there. When air freshener is sprayed in the air, its chemical substances spread in the air, which are inhaled by the people through their breath, which reach their lungs, causing them damage. According to a medical research, using air fresheners can cause skin cancer. Therefore, do not use air fresheners, as it is not wise to face such a great threat just for the sake of the fragrance of a few moments. Method of making the room fragrant. Question. How should we make the room smell pleasant? Answer. One should burn loban and perfume the room with its smoke. The smoke of loban not only makes the room fragrant, but also kills the germs. Nowadays, insect killer sprays are used to kill flies instead of them. Use loban, as even if its fumes are inhaled by a person, it benefits them instead of harming them. And it also gets rid of the inflammation of the throat, provided it is pure loban. If the room is fumigated with the smoke of the dry branches and leaves of the loban tree, then it not only makes the room fragrant, but its smoke also gets rid of mosquitoes, houseflies, cockroaches, lizards, and other sorts of household pests. Dear Islamic brothers, keep the environment of your homes and surroundings neat and fragrant. This not only eliminates germs, but also brings blessings in the home. As Sayyidina Shaykh Abul Abbas Bawni Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has said, by keeping homes fragrant, blessings appear in the home. Steadfastness in the Madani environment. Question. How can we attain steadfastness in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami? Answer. Obeying your seniors is a vital ingredient in gaining steadfastness in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. If you keep criticizing the Zaili, Halka area or Division Mushawarat Nigran or whichever Nigran you are under, then its curse will keep distancing you away from the Madani environment. Therefore, we should always keep a good opinion of our Zimadar Islamic brothers and obey them while staying within the bounds of Sharia. By the virtue of this, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you will attain steadfastness. Another great way of attaining steadfastness in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami is Madani activities. Those Islamic brothers who keep doing Madani activities become acquainted with a wide range of people. Now, if someday that individual is not around, then others inquire regarding him, saying so-and-so Islamic brother did not come today. When that brother comes the next day, then the people inquire after him. So this way an affectionate environment gets created and one gets used to the Madani activities. Remember, the one who attains steadfastness in performing Madani activities will also, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, attain steadfastness in the Madani environment. Another way of attaining steadfastness in the Madani activities and the Madani environment is also by taking a responsibility. Once a capable Islamic brother takes on any responsibility and works with full zeal to fulfill his responsibilities, he will succeed in his goal only when he physically performs the Madani activity himself. Because if he does not perform the Madani activity himself, then he will not be able to persuade other Islamic brothers properly, either to perform the Madani activity, as to persuade others, you need to lead the way. Anyhow, by taking up a responsibility, one's laziness gets removed and he becomes active. Moreover, a responsible Islamic brother develops a mindset that if I don't go, then masjid dars will not be delivered. Islamic brothers will not come into Madrasatul Madina Balighan. Madani visit for calling people towards righteousness will not take place. New Islamic brothers might leave, or old Islamic brothers' passion might fade away. So with this fear, he remains active in the Madani activities. This way, the responsible Islamic brother attains steadfastness in the Madani activities and the Madani environment. Other than this, one should make constant dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla, saying, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, keep me obedient to the Madani Markaz and steadfast in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami until my last breath. O Allah, give me the ability to perform Madani activities until my last breath, and give me death with Iman. Ameen bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Way of bringing Islamic brothers close to the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Question: how do we bring back the Islamic brothers who have become angry and stopped doing the Madani works of Dawat-e-Islami? Answer: those Islamic brothers who have stopped doing the Madani works of Dawat-e-Islami by becoming angry should be brought back politely, using wisdom and tact. One must try to re-affiliate them with the Madani environment by telling them the blessings of the Madani environment. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, the Markazi Majlis-e-Shura has compiled a pamphlet which contains 19 Madani pearls which are read out at every Madani Mashwara after Tilawat and Naat. Amongst these Madani pearls, one mentioned is keep looking for those Islamic brothers who used to come before but don't anymore. Try to reattach at least one left Islamic brother in a week with the Madani environment. This is not for those who have had an organizational ban. When you go to such people, it will, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, bring a great change. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in the Holy Quran, chapter 27, Surah Az-Zariyat, ayah number 55, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and remind that reminding benefits the Muslims. This way, those Islamic brothers who have left the Madani environment will inshallah Azza wa Jalla reattach with the Madani environment. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ.